Well, hello and welcome back to the Ron Remo podcast. It is currently 9 o'clock at night. I have been putting off doing this episode for a while, not because it's bad or like because, you know, embarrassed about it. I'm just fucking lazy. But to be honest, it's because I basically have the house to myself and it feels amazing. Aside from, you know, my brother, but whatever. He's not really a thought in my head. Anyways, yeah, I have like the whole house to myself. I got paid and I paid off my car and I went grocery shopping for a little bit. And lovely, lovely, lovely spaghetti. Okay, so one of my favorite things to do. Welcome, by the way, to the Ron Remo podcast, if I haven't said that yet. I feel like I just dove right in. But one of my favorite things so far is my air fryer, which I purchased like frozen meatballs, and I'm going to drop a secret right now. You can just cook frozen meatballs in the air fryer and just toss them in your sauce. And you basically have spaghetti and meatballs. It's so good. I get the Italian version. I get the Italian frozen meatballs. And I just, as they're air frying, I have the spaghetti cooking, and then I also have the sauce. And what I do is I'll just cook the sauce, get it nice and hot and thick. Sometimes I have to add a little bit of sugar to kind of cut the acidity. I don't like acidic sauce. I like slightly sugary, slightly sweet sauce, you know, something to kind of cut through the acid. Anyways, favorite spaghetti and meatballs I've ever made. It's just like such an easy, quick recipe for myself. And I have some for lunch, which I'm going to fucking devour tomorrow. I go to work tomorrow. But how are you guys doing? I hope you guys have had a good week, and I hope that tomorrow is the start of a happier weekend. Not for me, though, because, bitch, I have to work on the weekends. So I'm just sitting here getting this recording in so that I don't have to worry about it. Also, just still trying to get back into the groove of recording episodes. There's been a lot happening, and I think this might just be like a two-parter because there's been so much happening in the world that I just got to cover it right now. I did want to talk about, however, a few things video game related, just in my, you know, what's been happening with me. Yesterday, I went over to my friend's house. Well, actually, I went over to the campus, the college campus that I graduated from, to say hi, and then I ended up meeting my friend over there who was having lunch with the art teacher that we both fucking love. Slightly scatterbrained, but she is incredible. She's so artistically experienced and she's so knowledgeable about all different types of art. It's incredible. And like the best part is she's more than willing to learn new art things. So it's incredible. So I helped them out with setting up the art gallery. Apparently there is an artist who decided to donate their part of their collection to the campus, which was very kind of them. So now we were going building to building, trying to figure out where the art pieces would be best and how curating. I guess I just don't have the brain for art curation. I don't know. I don't understand what they see, but it's art, so it's subjective, so I can't really be like, this is how it's supposed to be, good and final. If it was up to me, I'd just throw my art everywhere. It's all nonsensical. I think the only thing that it has in common with one another is its intense use of color. I think that's what makes my art. You know, I'm not afraid to use different types of colors just for the sake of using them. There's no purpose behind any of these colors. It's just I pull them out of my ass and I paint with them. That's what I think defines my art. But the artist was, you know, we spent, I think, 10 minutes straight just on one building trying to figure out where each of the paintings was going to go. And for half that time, I was just kind of sitting on the floor on my phone because I didn't really know what the fuck was happening. But after that, I went over to my friend's house, and he fucking let me play Baldur's Gate with him, the newest Baldur's Gate 3, which, let me just say, holy shit, he was right. It's exactly like D&D, and we had such a great time. Oh my god, it was such a good game. I'm kind of hoping to buy it, but I don't have a powerful enough laptop, nor do I have a PC to run Baldur's Gate. But it's a very impressive game. It's beautiful. It's absolutely a stunning game. I also purchased No Man's Land, finally, which is a game that I've been wanting to. I have played it on my laptop. Probably will not play it on my laptop anymore. It was dying. It was good. The gameplay I played so far was incredibly good. I had a fucking blast. It was everything and more than I expected from No Man's Land. And I know that No Man's Land has had, you know, like some controversies. But if you're ever curious about the controversies of No Man's Land, I suggest watching the Internet Historian's video on it. It's about an hour long, but it is so informative on everything that had happened with that game and the release. But I would give it a solid 8. It's just too powerful for my laptop right now. So I'll have to just invest in a PC or a new gaming laptop. Whatever it may be. I might just get a PC. Just plop it on my fucking desk and shit, you know? I don't want to spend thousands of dollars on a fucking laptop. I want a setup, and I want to put a million lights that are going to tear off my paint and be distracting while I play. You know, like all gamers should. and Overwatch 2 finally came out with their Invasion season pass, which is the highly anticipated Overwatch season that has come out. I still don't like the way that Overwatch is doing things now, like the 5v5 and like the push maps and the season battle passes, and you have to like really grind to like rank 45 in order to play the new characters, but then after that season's done, they'll just be free to play after. It doesn't make any fucking sense. They had recently come out with Invasion, and they come out with a new support character named Illari. Is Illari. She is from Peru, and she is a child of the sun. And quite frankly, I really like her utility pack. She's very DPS oriented support, but I don't know. I think that with the actual invasion part of it, they set out missions, player versus everyone missions, which means you're not going to be playing against other players in like a competition to win. You are playing story driven objectives with other players to basically finish the campaign or finish a campaign that has been set. Kind of reminds me of like Left 4 Dead, which is a really great game in the way that it's structured. You know, you have 4 players and you're running a small campaign to like watch the cutscenes and stuff to see what's happening in their world currently. It's very good, but the problem is, so you want the full Overwatch experience, right? On you know, the Overwatch 2. In order to get everything and every single like mythic skin in time before the season runs out, because once the season runs out, those skins become basically locked for life. They have to like, you know, allow you to get like a free skin, or you know, they have to like they have to put that skin out again in order to be available to purchase or to obtain. So, you know, the best thing to do when it comes to the battle pass, and I hate that I'm saying this, purchasing the battle pass will give you all the access to every new thing that they have put out, which is like $10. And then you have to buy, in order to play the invasion missions, you have to pay $15. And I believe there's like 5 or 6. And you want this skin, you want the 20 tiers, it's going to cost you like an extra $10. I don't like the fact that they have put the missions for sale, because that means they're going to put all the missions for sale. The five pack of missions for Invasion are going to be $15. And then what else? What happens after that? Are they going to keep releasing them in bundles and make people pay for them? Like, no one's going to play the game. Oh, they also released a new mode called Flashpoint. It is essentially King of the Hill, except the hill moves around the map, if that makes sense. It's a good idea. I will not lie. It is a good idea. I'm just frustrated because I'm bad at it. That is the only reason. It's a me problem, and I absolutely admit it. I am bad at Overwatch. I have always been bad at Overwatch. I have been playing Overwatch for 5 years, and I still suck ass at it, okay? It's no one's fault but mine. Flashpoint, objectively speaking, is an okay, it's an okay mode. It's a little bit frustrating, though, when you have cheese comps, like always, but, you know, this is why these characters get buffed or nerfed. It's just because of, you know, people really pushing the limits on games. But I just don't like the fact that Blizzard is making fans that have been with the franchise since the beginning, they have been making them, they're now making them pay for additional content while trying to fix the game and patch it along the way, all the shit. It's just, I don't know. I just hate this new culture of video game development, and it's not even the people who develop it. It's not their fault. It's higher ups who have decided to go this route because it makes them more money by extorting all of their fans. You know, it sucks. But that's all I really wanted to talk about. Now, let's get into the topics, shall we? I know it's a weird send-off, but please stay with me. Okay, the first topic that we are going to be talking about. Mind you, I might be a little bit late about talking about it, but it has to be talked about, okay? Because it is not over yet, bitch. First topic we're going to be talking about is Doja Cat versus her fans. And apparently, Doja Cat had berated some fans for calling themselves kittens by saying that whoever calls themselves a kitten should be embarrassed and should get a job to help their parents. Which was sort of strange, but like not uncommon since the singer has been doing this on and off for a while. There was another incident where Doja Cat went live on TikTok, I think it was. And she read a fan comment during the live stream where the fan said, "I love your music, but you treat your fans like shit." And let me tell you, when she went off, it means she went off. She was just talking, she just sparked a heated rant about from Doja Cat about like how she makes music because she likes to, and she's very grateful to her fans who listen. And like her music is for herself and for them. But when fans say that, like, she looks ugly, bald, or when her music is bad, like, those are not her fans. That part I agree with, though. That part I agree with. Those are people pretending to be her fans. They're anti-fans. They're people who will pretend to be someone's fan just to tear them down, saying things like, "I love your music, but you treat your fans like shit." But in this case, the fan had a point. At some point, it's a little complicated because we really don't know all the details of what's happening. We just know about the now. She made it very clear, and it's true. We don't know who she is outside of her persona, Doja Cat. And like, chances are we may never actually know, but is that really bad? Like, celebrities these days are forced to share their personal lives with their fans, but they're not obligated. Sometimes a famous person just wants to be left alone to do their own thing with their circle of friends. And I feel like this is what Doja Cat meant. The problem, however, that I see with Doja is that she's using this aggression to build a wall with her fans. Her fans just want more and she's not willing to do so. But she's basically belittling them by saying, "Your perception of me is dumb, and I wish that you could see that for yourself instead of wanting something you will never have." like I said, like some parts of it I agree with and others I don't. You can be a celebrity nowadays while having a personal life and not have to bring your fans down. But fans also need to understand the boundaries with their celebrities. K-pop has this issue all the time, but in K-pop, incidences are brushed off. But here in Hollywood and in the American music industry, there's much more resistance to fans. It's all a delicate balance. You know what I mean? Fans and stars have to find some sort of synergy to make a career flourish. It's a two-part. Lady Gaga, you got it, I got a burp. Lady Gaga is a good example of this. I'm good now. And I'll use myself as an example of how Lady Gaga is a good example of all this. All right. I've loved Lady Gaga since late 2008, before I moved to New Mexico. My first ever album I bought with my own money was The Fame, which, by the way, they re-released, Interscope Records re-released that album as a vinyl, and I'm gonna fucking get it. The Fame was her debut album. I love her. I know a lot of facts about her and that she shared with her fan base. Her fans are called monsters. She has a fantastic relationship with her fan base. But on her side, she doesn't know who I am whatsoever. I am just another fan in the ocean of fans who love her. It is very much a parasocial relationship that I have with her. I love her music. I put so much energy into everything she gives us, but she has no clue about my life. And I'm kind of okay with that. But, you know, I'm fine with Lady Gaga never knowing who I am. You know, the chance of that happening is like 1 in a million. And I'm not really counting on anything from that. But let's stick with Doja for now. After she berated her kittens, they began to delete their fan accounts and unfollow Doja Cat on Threads. If I remember correctly, I was watching a YouTube video or a TikTok. Apparently, Doja Cat had lost over 600,000 fans, follows on Instagram alone. Isn't that fucking insane? Holy shit. The other drama that has come up with Doja Cat is with her new man. She's dating Jeffrey J. Cyrus, a former Vine star and now social media influencer posting on TikTok and Twitch. I, for one, had no fucking clue who this guy was, but go off. I actually did a little research on Jay Cyrus while I was preparing for this podcast episode. His content on Vine seemed very directed towards like bro culture, straight boy kind of culture on Vine. If anyone remembers that culture on Vine, if anyone even remembers fucking. If anyone remembers Vine. The trauma with her new man is basically sexual assault and also racism in tweets, where he shared a Vine talking about why you should never suggest KFC to your black friend. And there's a note here in my script that says the amount of cringe I felt when I typed this script. I don't know what the fuck possessed him to do that. But the sexual allegation part began when 20 women came forward about their experiences with Jay. But like, the wild part about this is like, Doja Cat isn't talking about this whatsoever. It seems like Doja Cat just wants to be blissfully unaware and be happy with her man. But to be honest, it feels like Doja Cat's career is going to be taking a massive nosedive, and I'm hoping I am wrong, because I personally love Doja Cat, but I don't know if I can support someone who's blatantly opposed to any kind of criticism, and who apparently, when they were younger, would go to incel chats, like chat rooms. It all seems very, very... just odd in general, but that's been Doja Cat's career her whole time being famous, hasn't it? It's just been odd. But here's hoping that Doja Cat actually turns things around for herself and her career, of course. Okay, I got distracted on TikTok while looking at Overwatch memes. But here we go. Here's the next topic. We are going to be talking about the NPC livestream trend that's actually happening on TikTok. Oh, okay. Now I remember why I was on TikTok. Okay, so I'll mention it as I read the article, a little explaining what it is. Okay. There's a new trend going around on TikTok where people are live streaming and pretending to be NPCs. I catch some of these live streams and I was so confused as to what was happening. And so I saw a video posted by one of my favorite YouTubers, Jamie French, where she explained the trend. And all I have to say is that I am even more confused as to why this is happening. I understand the trend very well. I just don't get it, if that like makes sense. You go on live and take a stance, like when you see characters walking around and how they like bounce slightly while they're like idle. You know how like in Mortal Kombat you have like the characters just doing idle like animations and stuff. That's essentially what they do on these like live streams. And it's that, and like whenever someone gives them something like a rose or a galaxy worth diamonds, they basically activate like a piece of dialogue related to that gift. So like if you give an NPC live streamer a rose, they might say something like, "Ooh, a rose smells pretty." Like if you chain it too, if you give them like 7 roses, they'll be like, "Ooh, a rose, ooh, a rose, ooh, a rose, ooh." It's sort of maddening, and like they do some sort of animation of like smelling the flower or something. It's just very odd. That's the whole trend. But the crazy part about it is the diamonds. Remember the diamonds I mentioned for like the rose and galaxy stuff? So get this. Whenever you get coins or diamonds on TikTok, you can redeem them in the form of gifts. The gifts can be given to live streamers as a token of gratitude. These diamonds and coins have actual monetary value that the live streamers can exchange. So here's a TikTok currency conversion so far. For 100 coins on TikTok, that equals $1.50. And 100 diamonds equals 50 cents. So these TikTok creators, these content creators who are doing NPCs, are making money pretending to be non-playable characters, and it's insane. So let's just use our calculator for a second and just talk about, okay, so $1.51 for each 100. I don't know how to do. How do I do this? 100 times. Yeah. So let's say they get 1,000 like coins and stuff. That's easily like $15 worth of it. Now imagine if they got 30,000. So you'd have to get, in order, 100 times 30, 151, it is like 3 million. 151, 330,000 diamonds and coins. We'll just stick with coins, actually. 30,000 coins would be like $45,000. Isn't that fucking insane? Actually, hang on. Let me just go online and do it. TikTok coin to USD. It's just easier. My math, I am not good at math. Oh, it's kind of right, actually. Okay. So, if you were to get 17,500 coins on TikTok, you would be making around $250. Imagine that every live stream. 250. I can do that math. That's actually easy. Times 7. You'll be making $1,750 each week. Times that by 4, you'll be making $7,000 a month. And then let's just times that by 12. $84,000 in a year if you do that constantly. That's insane. God damn. It pays to be kind of stupid nowadays, doesn't it? God damn. All right. And do you know which famous influencer is doing this? Trisha Paytas. Because of course she would jump on the opportunity to make money on TikTok. She has so many followers. Of course she'd make easy money off of that. 17,500 followers giving one coin to Trisha Paytas for a whole year, that would be her salary. $84,000. Easy. Let's see. I don't know how many followers Trisha has. Let's just say off the top of our head, 1 million. Each follower, she has 1 million followers. Each follower gives her a coin on TikTok. That's 18K a month. 18K just for that live stream. It's wild, dude. But I will say this, the trend is interesting to see happen because it really shows what people are entertained by. And I don't mean that in like a rude way. I truly don't. It's just interesting to see how the internet culture sort of evolves on different social media. It really is its own biome because the trend you see on TikTok can't translate properly to something like Instagram. You don't really see water talk on something like Facebook, which if you don't know what that is, go check out Jamie French's video on water talk. Each social media site has its own way of pumping content into their sites, and that's effective, and it's interesting to see the people who keep up with the trends to stay relevant or just to be a part of it. Nonetheless, it's one of the strangest trends I have seen on TikTok, but like, you know what? We'll teach their own. Fuck it, right? Let people just do what they want. It's harmless. It truly is harmless. The only harm that it's really doing is people giving money to creators who are just standing around doing literally nothing, but that's their own free will. And if they want to do that with their own money, why not? You know, let them spend their cash on dumb shit like that. Well, I think it's dumb to spend your cash on something like that. Don't give your money to just random influencers who are doing literally nothing. Come on, people. We're in a recession right now. The economy has gone to shit and we're giving our money away to NPC live streamers? No. Stop that. Okay, let's move on to our last topic of this episode. And let's talk about, this is going to be kind of like a double whammy because I figured I might as well just put these two together because they both relate to, they basically relate to performing live and stuff like that. Let's talk about how Lizzo and Cardi B ended up in the news this week for two completely different reasons. Starting with Lizzo, this is like the longer of the articles that I will be talking about because it's a little bit more serious in my opinion. So Lizzo's being sued by three of her backup dancers for sexual harassment and creating a hostile work environment, which I honestly did not expect to come from Lizzo herself. Since she's one of the few people I thought would be the ones who would create a safe environment for people to flourish and show their artistic side, regardless of shape or size, but apparently not. The rumored singer was accused of weight shaming one of the dancers, pressuring two of the dancers to do nude photo shoots and nearly assaulting one of them. When you read the allegations that have come out so far, it's bad. It's really bad. So one of the dancers, Ariana Davis, was pressured into going into the banana bar. And bitch, let me tell you, I did research on this place. Woo! Holy shit. This is, let me just read this part here. The banana bar is a sex club where performers do all sorts of sexy stuff, such as launch dildos from their vagina and eat bananas that protrude from the performer's genitals. It sounds wild, and I am infinitely curious, but Miss Davis was not. She had been pressured into touching one of the performer's breasts, and Miss Davis had declined. She said no, but was pressured into doing so by the chance that grew louder and louder until Miss Davis gave in and touched the nude performer's breast, making the group burst into laughter. Now, I don't know if you guys know what it feels like to be pressured into doing something humiliating like that and then being laughed at. It's not a cute feeling. It's not a fun feeling. It feels like you're the fucking butt of the joke. And Miss Davis probably thought that too, even though she, A, didn't want to go, B, wasn't even up to touching the performer, and C, that's not her fucking job, and she should be allowed to do any, like, whatever she wants on her free time, but she's basically being dragged to this sex club. Nothing against the sex club, but it was just kind of like, yeah, I can understand where Miss Davis is coming from. I would feel uncomfortable too, especially with the wrong group of people. And, like, even something as simple as touching a stranger's breast does require, you know, just some green lights from, you know, both parties, and she was not ready to do so. The performers don't care because they're making money from it, and they deal with the shit all the time, but, like, Miss Davis was not okay with this shit. A week later, Lizzo invited the dancers to a club to, quote-unquote, learn something and be inspired, but failed to mention that it was another nude bar. Now, before I go on, I want to say this, okay? There are limits to what people are willing to do. And that's a very, very blatantly clear. I have two best friends who are not extremely sexual. They don't like overtly sexual things. You know, they dabble in their own stuff, whatever, and you know, some don't even dabble, period. I'm not going to disclose their sexuality, but essentially, they would not be okay with stuff like this. If I were to drag them to a sex club where they do things like that, they would be incredibly uncomfortable with it. Me, however, I'm down, I'm game, I want to go to this place. This sounds infinitely intriguing, and I would love to eat bananas out of someone's vagina. That sounds so fucking wild. Like, that is, sign me the fuck up. My friends, not so much. No, they're not into that kind of stuff. They're not into, like that kind of wild shit, okay? If we were in Amsterdam, I think, I don't know, in my opinion, if we were to go to Amsterdam and do, like, a group, do something that involves, like, going out as a group, we would either go to, like, a concert, or we would go to, like, a tour, you know, like a bus tour, you know, seeing the flowers or, like, the windmills and, you know, just having a good old time in Amsterdam. I would be interested in the Red Light District, but I have to think about what my friends are okay with. Because not a lot of people like stuff like that. You know, when people think about Amsterdam, they think of, like, oh, all the weed they can smoke and all the sex clubs that they can go to. But, like, there's more to Amsterdam to that. And, like, the point is, it wouldn't be fair for me to drag my friends out to something like this when they're uncomfortable with something like that. It's just not fun. It's not fair for them. And it's selfish of me to do so. So that's kind of where I stand on it.
It sounds like a great time, but it's not what everyone is looking for. Anyways, let's get back to the other new bar. Lizzo basically tricked her dancers into going without any knowledge of the nature of the bar. If I were the dancers at this point, I'd try to make up some excuse or like book to go see the Tulips or like a tour Amsterdam or to do something that Lizzo cannot possibly drag me to. But that's just me. And it's also harder for the dancers to say no to the person who gave them a job as well. Job security in the touring world or even in the entertainment world is never secure. You could be replaced in a moment for something as small as accidentally eating someone's crackers, but like, is that really fair? No, it's just quote unquote the way it is, according to everyone in Hollywood. It's just unfair, and like the fact that they just went along with it because they knew they may lose their jobs. If they say no to her, it rubs me the wrong way. They were also accused of drinking on the job, which would be impossible because one of the dancers stated that they were not allowed to bring drinks of any kind to the dressing room, including alcoholic drinks and also food. The dancer also quoted Lizzo talking about food, stating that Lizzo had said, quote, "It doesn't matter if I'm doing it. Doesn't matter if the band or anyone else is doing it. You guys can't do it." Which seems like horseshit. First of all, why would you allow anyone to drink before performance or during rehearsal? Like, it doesn't seem like a right idea to have drunk people performing. So why would you put so much pressure on the dancers to not drink? Tell the band to cut their shit out too. The point is, the dancers are really working in an environment which is overtly sexual and hostile. This seems like it would be the worst place for backup dancers to deal with because it causes stress on the dancers, which could lead to stress eating or a lack of eating, not drinking enough water, or maybe even losing hair from the stress. And it also doesn't help that they are really at the mercy of the people in charge. Like the what the fuck was the religious dance manager's name? It was like Quigley something. Lizzo. Quigley. Jerlene Quigley. This fucking woman, basically, according to what the dancers had said, basically they would be harassed religiously by Jerlene Quigley. And after this whole debacle came out, this woman put out a TikTok where she was talking about how God loves you no matter what happens. Here's a little blurb from that TikTok. Quote from Entertainment. It just says, quote, "I wanted to get on here quick and say God is so, so good. God loves you so, 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 so much. No matter what you're going through. Even if you don't love him, he loves you. Glory to God. I just wanted to remind you that he is love. He is true. He is the light. He is the first and the last, and all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. I feel so blessed. I feel so thankful. I feel so full of joy." Is she fucking crazy or something? Why would you post that on TikTok after all that has come out with Lizzo and this lawsuit? This does not help the situation. This actually, like, further cements the fact that you were probably harassing these girls about religious shit. Shut up. Holy fucking crap. Oh my God. And also, Lizzo did come out with it's called the notepad apology. It's when you like write out your apology on the Apple notepad app. And it's just this long-winded talking about, oh, these rumors are false and blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. You know, just the basic shit that is basically regurgitated whenever something like this comes out. It's not helping. Charlene Quigley is not helping the situation. Lizzo is definitely not helping the situation. And it just seems to be getting worse as time goes on. And I can't with this, dude. I can't with Lizzo anymore. She has a lot of incredible music, but like, own up to what you're doing, you know? Don't fucking hide behind, you know, this entertainment celebrity jargon that everyone uses. It's not cool. All right, and the next article is a little bit shorter, but I really want to talk about it. So, July 29th, Cardi B was performing at Dre's nightclub when a fan in the audience threw some sort of drink on the singer, which prompted her to stop and take a moment to register what had happened. Now, listen, I saw the fucking clip on TikTok, so I know what was happening. Cardi got a drink thrown on her. She stopped, shocked, readied the microphone, and threw it at the fucking fan, and it made contact. Oh, it hit her. Oh, you could hear the thump coming off that mic from the bitch's head. I shouldn't actually call her a bitch. I don't think she... I'll get into that in a second. I'll say what I was thinking. But the way that Cardi threw the fucking like mic at her just really made me laugh, because like she threw it in like the softball way. You know how they teach you in elementary school how to throw a softball, where you have like the ball in one hand, aim with the other, and shift your weight as you throw the ball? That's like exactly what she did, and she got the fan who threw a drink at her. I shouldn't really call her a bitch, because from the way that I saw it happen, she has her hand up in the air with the drink, just cheering. I think she went a little too hard and the drink flew out, and it led to that moment, which is very unfortunate. Which just really sucked. But here's the thing, right? Here's the problem with this moment. Cardi actually asked the crowd to throw water on her. She's like performing in triple digit weather, so she needs to cool down, but there is footage of her asking to be splashed with water during like the intermission, where she took a break to take a sip of water. So I'm guessing she got upset that the fan splashed her during her performance. As funny as I think it was that she threw the mic at a fan who splashed her, I don't think she made it clear that she did not want to be splashed during the performance. Maybe during breaks, but not while she's performing. So it's really kind of her fault for not clarifying that. But also, like, the fans should read the room too. Why would you splash someone while they're performing? I had to look this up because I wanted to put it in. But, like, you know, knowing me, my memory is a little shot and I don't remember things properly. But I remember, and I looked it up and it confirmed it. It reminds me of the video where someone like Harry Styles is performing and a fan threw a water bottle at him. It hit him in the nuts. It's so graceful how he just like bends over in pain, because I would have done the same thing Cardi B did. He is truly, Harry Styles, dude, you are a gentle gentleman. I salute you for basically, you know, getting hit square in the nuts and just being a good sport about it. And the last part about the story is that Cardi might not get away with this unscathed. The fan who was assaulted by the mic has now reported the incident to the police, and Cardi is now a suspect of battery. No word from Cardi's team, but I will be keeping tabs on this drama and reporting back as quickly as I possibly can. Which probably means that you will be hearing this shit on the next episode, if there is something that came out according, you know, relating to all this. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm very excited to see any updates about this. I was about to literally publish this episode until I realized I have not made a closing anything. Well, that's the end of the episode. I've been doing this for 5 years, just know that, and I've not gotten any better at this. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to the podcast. That's going to be all the topics that we have for today. Listen, really, I really do appreciate you guys listening to these episodes. Even if it's just a few of you, I really don't care that much.
It's fun making these, and I'm glad that you enjoy them. If you want to listen to any other of my episodes, I have a lot of greats. I do this by myself, essentially. So really, I'm just trying to take the time to get better at writing scripts and, you know, making a schedule on the things I want to talk about. And I really want to get guests on here to talk about certain topics. All that will have to wait for a little bit because, well, the guest part, writing the schedules and being on time will not have to wait for nothing. I have to do this now. But I wanted to just thank you guys for listening. And if you want to listen to any more of my episodes, you can find me on Spotify. That is the main place where I will be broadcasted on. And you can also find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, any website where they broadcast podcasts. That's where you'll find me. But until then, I will catch you on the next episode, okay? Bye!